How serious is the Trump administration about bringing down the price of medicine? David Brancaccio in New York here. This afternoon, President Trump is set to offer his plan to lower the price of pharmaceuticals in America. Last year, the president accused drug companies of, quote, getting away with murder. I want to turn to Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein at our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia. We haven't seen the speech, Dan, but we have some clues.
We do. President Trump is expected to deliver comments based on ideas that were outlined in his 2019 budget that included a plan to cap out-of-pocket costs for people on Medicare, seniors, and people with disabilities at about $5,000. Now, David, that's going to provide some real relief to about 1 million people. One of the most radical but hazy ideas out there, David, is actually directed at what other countries pay for prescription drugs, which is often a lot less than what we pay here in the U.S.
Now, we know the president has talked tough about lowering drug prices, but is there evidence this speech could translate into policy that benefits consumers?
Well, it doesn't sound like the administration is planning to give the federal government more power to negotiate prices. And the idea about capping costs for people on Medicare, for example, it may be good for some, but economists warn that the policy unintentionally could encourage drug makers to actually raise prices. There's also a lot of skepticism about any renegotiated trade deals that raise prices overseas would actually do anything about the prices here at home. One source I spoke to said it seems like the administration is serious about cracking down on the games that drug companies are playing. What is said in the speech, though, is going to go a long way for him, at least, in determining if there's much there.
All right. Well, I'll be watching. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein. Thank you.
Thank you.
Checking markets, the FTSE in London is down 5 points. Dow and S&P futures are up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury yield down at 2.96%. Crude oil still pretty high today, $71.46 a barrel in New York, with Iran sanctions coming. As part of those renewed sanctions, the U.S. has just moved to disrupt a currency exchange network. The U.S. believes the system is used to funnel cash to Iran's Revolutionary Guard to help them carry out what the U.S. Treasury sees as, quote, nefarious activities in the region. The currency system is centered in the United Arab Emirates, which is working with the U.S. to dismantle the funding arrangement. Now, closer to home, you get a call on your phone from what looks like a familiar number, maybe a local area code. When you answer, you get a telemarketer instead. That's a type of robocall called neighbor spoofing, and the FCC has just fined a Florida man who orchestrated almost 100 million calls like that. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. How big's the fine?
It's $120 million, David, and the FCC says this is the largest fine it's ever issued. The guy behind this particular batch of robocalls is named Adrian Abramovich, and the strategy was to call people from numbers that appeared to be local, tell them they had some great offer from Expedia or TripAdvisor or Marriott, then pass them off to a foreign call center to try to sell them timeshares or other vacation packages. Now, this fine was announced last year, but Abramovich appealed. He admits his companies were behind all the calls and spoofing the phone numbers, but said he didn't really harm the 96 million people he called, so he shouldn't have to pay. Obviously, the FCC disagreed.
All right, Kimberly, thanks. Once seen as one of the financial weapons of mass destruction that contributed to the 2008 debacle, the idea of borrowing against your house is back. Home equity lines of credit have hit a 9-year high. Changes in the tax law make them a little less attractive, but still people like them. But are we forgetting the risks? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Rosanna Weaver and her husband Don applied for a home equity line of credit, or HELOC, in the early 2000s. They'd paid down a chunk of their mortgage, plus the value of their house had gone up. They had a decent amount of equity and qualified easily for a big line of credit that could be tapped at any time.
So my daughter's room isn't here.
Weaver's giving me a tour of her house in the Washington suburbs. She leads me upstairs.
This had been uninsulated.
It's insulated now. The Weavers also used their HELOC to add a bathroom and redo the kitchen, which hadn't gotten much attention since the house was built in the 1930s.
We created more shelf space and put in new counters and stuff.
The Weavers used about $20,000 from their credit line to make improvements to their house, but they could have spent it on a cruise or college tuition. There are no restrictions on how the money is used, and it's really easy to access.
I just go on the computer and I move money from here to here. It's a little frightening how easy it is, actually.
From the bank's point of view, easy is the whole idea. Interest rates on HELOCs are typically lower than other bank loans because HELOCs are backed by your house. And says Annette Nellen, a taxation professor at San Jose State University, you can borrow more as home prices rise.
The banks are well aware that people have value in their homes and will view them as prime candidates to borrow money.
But borrowers aren't always well aware of how easy it is to get into trouble with a HELOC. Interest rates can fluctuate a lot. And if home values drop, you may find you borrowed more than your house was worth. Lots of homeowners got into trouble that way during the financial crisis. But HELOCs are harder to come by now, says Guy Sakala, publisher and CEO of Inside Mortgage Finance.
You'd have to produce proof of income over a period of times, like 2 years tax returns or bank statements going 2 years. You need a significant credit score.
Plus, changes to the tax code have made HELOCs less appealing because interest can be deducted only on certain purchases. But Sakala says as the housing crisis moves further into the rearview mirror and banks push to make more loans, it's easy to forget HELOC's destructive history. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And credit where it is very much due, our executive producer is Nicole Childers, our digital producer Janet Wynn, our engineer Brian Allison. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.